Over the past 6 weeks, we've all become armchair experts in the field of epidemiology, as together we struggle to comprehend the spread of COVID-19 in our world. And as amateur epidemiologists, one of the scientific terms that we have learned is R0. That is a capital R with a subscript 0 next to it. It is pronounced R0. R0 stands for the reproduction ratio that scientists use to describe the intensity of an infectious disease outbreak. R0 is the number of cases on average that each infected person will cause. It represents a worst-case scenario describing what will happen when an infected person enters into an unprotected population. For example, imagine that I were infected with COVID-19 and I entered into a town where no one had immunity or vaccination, and interacting with the residents in a normal manner, I would infect people and they would infect others and so on. The average rate of infection, that is the R0. If an infection has an R0 of less than 1, the disease will die out naturally. It can't reproduce. Over 1, however, the disease will spread exponentially. Measles, for example, is highly infectious. Measles has an R0 of 12 to 18. Fortunately, we have an effective measles vaccine. However, we do witness explosive outbreaks of measles when people in a location stop taking the measles vaccine. The influenza virus is less infectious than measles. It has an R0 ranging from just 2 to 3. The influenza virus, however, it mutates and it can evade vaccines and immunity, which makes it, as we know, difficult to eradicate. COVID-19 is a new virus, and we don't have enough data to determine its infection ratio. Very early on, researchers in Wuhan, China, estimated that the COVID infection rate was between 2.2 and 2.7. However, a report from the CDC just 2 weeks ago suggests that the infection ratio is actually double that, at around 5.7. Now, it's crucial to note that the R0 of a disease is not wholly dependent on the disease itself. Measles will always be infectious, but the R0 is influenced by vaccines, immunity, and human activity. In the case of COVID-19, we don't have vaccines or immunity yet. So that is why it's important that we practice this social distancing, because we must hinder the virus spreading from person to person. Human interaction feeds the virus, and we are trying to starve it. Testing for the virus would help immensely, because then we could determine definitively if someone has the virus and then isolate that person from everyone else. And we also need contact tracing so that we can backtrack who the infected person has had contact with and then test them. That's what they did so successfully in South Korea. epidemiology and public health are crucial for our safety, especially given what's going on in our world today. But in the matter of our faith, the question that I want to put before you this day is this: what is the R naught for Christianity? What is the infection ratio for the Christian faith? If you are a Christian, are you contagious to others? Our reading for today is one of the scriptures post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. In Luke's gospel, we can find the story of Easter morning when some women who were followers of Jesus went to the tomb and they found it empty. They reported this fact back to the disciples, who didn't believe them. Luke then jumps to telling us of two men who are traveling away from Jerusalem. It is that same Easter Sunday, just later in the day. These two, while they were in Jerusalem, they had heard the report of the women about the empty tomb. So now they're headed home. There's no reason to remain in Jerusalem. Jesus is dead. His corpse has been pilfered. The party is over. It's time to call it quits. One of these two men traveling, his name is Cleopas. We aren't given the name of the other. They are followers of Jesus, but they're not part of the inner 12, but they know them. And these two men, Cleopas and the other, they are traveling the road toward a village that's called Emmaus. Now, this wasn't their home. It was just the first stop on their journey. Today, we don't know the location of Emmaus. Scripture does tell us that it was 60 stadia from Jerusalem, which is about 7 miles. These two men, they're walking toward Emmaus, and they are deep in conversation. A third man approaches them and inquires as to what they are discussing among themselves so intently. The man asking this question is Jesus. But the two, they don't realize it. As the gospel explains, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Cleopas responds to this stranger on the road and says, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days?" The man asks, "What things?" And Cleopas recites the events of the life of Jesus. Jesus responds to the men saying, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Now, Jesus sounds harsh, but he isn't being critical when he calls the men foolish. It's really much softer than that. He's just pointing out that they've missed the point. And then as they walk along, Jesus offers to them an extended Bible study, explaining and interpreting how the Messiah has been foretold throughout Scripture. When they reach Emmaus, Jesus walks on ahead, but the others, they pull him back. They urge him to stay with them. And then at the inn, they gather at the dinner table, and Jesus takes the bread that's there on the table, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And when he does this, the eyes of the two men are opened, and finally, they recognize Jesus. And then Jesus vanishes. Realizing what has taken place, the two recall that as Jesus had been explaining the scriptures to them out on the road, their hearts burned. And so immediately they rush back to Jerusalem and they locate the others, and the disciples tell these two, the Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon. And then the two report to the disciples their experience with Jesus in Emmaus. Now, when I read this story, what I want to know is, why didn't these two recognize Jesus on the road? What is it that kept their eyes from seeing him? Well, maybe they just weren't expecting him. After all, they were certain he was dead, and how could a dead man be walking with them? Or maybe, as I like to imagine these days, they didn't recognize Jesus because, well, Jesus was wearing his coronavirus mask. And to be honest, I wouldn't recognize my own sister if she walked past me looking like this, wearing one of these. But the real answer, I believe, is that they didn't recognize Jesus because they weren't infected. They weren't infected with the Christian virus. They knew the story. That's obvious. When Jesus asks what they are discussing, they are able to recite to him all the details about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet before God, mighty in word and deed, and they tell how the chief priests and the leaders of the people had handed Jesus over to be tried and crucified. And they talk about how Jesus was the one in whom they had hoped for so long would bring redemption to their people. But then it all came to an end. He was executed, and that was 3 days ago. And then they go on to explain how just that morning some women from the group had gone to the tomb and found it empty because Jesus' body was gone. The women, they saw angels who informed them that yes, Jesus was alive, but some others rushed down to the tomb to see for themselves, but they could not find Jesus. Cleopas and this other man, they are able to recite the long chain of events because they do know it. They know all about Jesus. And if you were to give them a quiz on the subject, they would receive an A+. But despite all that they know, they still can't recognize the risen Jesus who is standing before them, talking to them. And they can't recognize this Jesus because they lack something. Remember, on the road, Jesus interpreted the scriptures for them. And then at the table, when he broke the bread, that's when it all came together. And their eyes were opened. And although they knew the story, they still weren't infected with the spirit of Jesus. And it wasn't until Jesus himself spoke to them that their hearts burned. That was when they got the infection. That was the fever of Christ within them. Last Sunday, we looked at the account of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Paul was struck blind, and he heard Jesus talking to him. And then 3 days later, Jesus sent Ananias to Paul. And Ananias laid his hands on Paul and said, "The Lord Jesus has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Cleopas and his friend, they possess the knowledge, but they lack the Spirit. I myself, fortunately, I've not been sick with COVID-19. I can tell you a lot about it, its progression, how it attacks the body, its R-naught. But then I read the first-person accounts by those who have endured this disease. And I realize that although I know about the disease, I don't comprehend the suffering, the pain, and the fear that accompany this disease. And the only way that I could wholly comprehend COVID would be to become infected. And I'm content to remain ignorant on that count. But Christianity works in the same way. Christians are not those people who know about Jesus, who can describe Jesus. Christians are those who have been infected. Christianity is not book learning. Christianity is something that is passed from person to person. Who in your life, think about it, who in your life infected you with the understanding of Christ? Who is it that made your heart burn? And more importantly, are you, having felt this infection, in turn sharing Christ with others? Are you infecting them with the same spirit that attacked you? Are you making sure that the R naught is far above one so that the Christian faith doesn't just fade away? For most of us, our ability to recognize Christ is not something that just switched on one day. It was more likely a slow build of events, a gradual infection by different people that we know and trust, our family, our friends, our church. Your faith is probably the product of being around believers who modeled Christian compassion, who witnessed to the power of God's love, who taught of God's salvation, who infected you with their belief and their faith. Today, in this time of distancing and isolation, I would encourage you to reflect on how you might engage in some viral marketing of our faith and commit yourself to infecting our world with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.